Well, now a story that reads right out of Dickens, but actually took place in Pennsylvania over the last decade. Two juvenile judges in Luzerne County sending thousands of kids away to privately run detention facilities after receiving several million dollars in kickbacks from the facility's owners. The judges bought condos and yachts in Florida. The kids often had just minor infractions. One threw a steak at his mother's boyfriend. Both judges were convicted. In August of 2011, one of them, Mark Chivarella, was sentenced to 28 years in prison for charges related to racketeering. And he came face to face with Sandy Fonzo, the mother of one of the kids, who killed himself after his wrongful detention.
My kid's not here! He's dead! Because of him! He ruined my f***ing life!
How could this happen? And is it symptomatic of a nationwide move to kick kids from schools into prisons? The story of the Luzerne County, Pennsylvania scandal is now told in a new book by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist William Eckenbarger, Kids for Cash, Two Judges, Thousands of Children, and a $2.8 million kickback scheme. And he joins us from WITF in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thank you.
Boy, quite something. We should say these judges also sent away kids who had more serious crimes. One woman was beaten during a robbery by juveniles. And those victims are understandably in favor of the punishment given out. But the majority of these cases, these were victimless crimes. In some cases, parents like Mrs. Fonzo had called the police in just to put a little scare into their kids.
Yeah, that was a frequent thing that happened up there. And most of these parents were very sorry that they did that once they found out the kids were going away.
Well, in her case, the next thing she knew, the police had trotted her child off. He was sentenced to 4 months in detention. Then he went to a boot camp. As we said, he later committed suicide. That obviously is extreme, but how were many of these kids affected by the fact that they were sent away?
Well, some of them have recovered and are leading productive lives, but many of them will never recover. They're suffering from prolonged emotional distress. They almost universally have a very deep disdain for authority. One young lady told me that anytime she's driving and she looks in the mirror and she sees a red light on a cop car, she gets nervous.
Yeah. Again, these were kids who maybe did a little graffiti, or one girl talked negatively about a teacher on social media, and the next thing they know, they're incarcerated. Well, lay out how this happened. You say it starts with a very insular culture in that particular county in which, you know, family always hired family, that there was a high tolerance for corruption. Tell us more about how that paved the way for this.
Well, the level of corruption in northeastern Pennsylvania is very hard to believe. Right now there's an ongoing federal investigation that has resulted in 40 or 50 public officials going to jail. One of the best, I think, is that if you applied for a job as a teacher up there, you were expected to show up at your interview with $4,000 or $5,000 in cash in an envelope and slide it across the table to the interviewer. I didn't believe this the first 20 or 30 times that I heard this, but eventually I came to believe it.
Well, then enters the first main characters on the stage. You have judges Mark Chivarella and, as you say, his behind-the-scenes co-conspirator, Michael Conahan. Two judges. They both ran for election. They became friends, next-door neighbors. Conahan had open friendships with mobsters. Chivarella started a get-tough juvenile program. He warned that, you know, violence on school grounds would lead to a month at a facility and a $400 fine. You know, parents would have to defray the costs. School officials were initially thrilled with him.
The school officials loved him because all they had to do to get rid of a problem child was call the cops. So that would get the kid before Chivarella and, of course, out of their hair. These kids were doing things that used to result in a detention or maybe a three-day suspension. And suddenly these things, shoving matches, disrespected teachers, became far more serious and could land you in a boot camp for 3 months.
Well, but before that, the town had a juvenile detention facility, but Judge Chivarella, you know, said it was too old. The town thought it was fine, but the judge was adamant that there be a new one. Now enter two other characters to the stage, a developer, Robert Miracle, a builder, Robert Powell, They are friends of the judges. In 2001, the two judges and the builders secretly decide to build new facilities. The judges are given a finder's fee, you know, for helping them find the land. But county officials balk at this. They don't know there's been a secret agreement. They balk at this idea of a new facility, and you know they're not willing to give loans. So this is an important point right here, where Judge Conahan pledges to what? To pay a certain amount of money to this yet-to-be-built facility, and that sort of enables the builders to get the loans to build it.
Yes, that's exactly what happened, Robin. Conahan was not the juvenile judge, so he didn't actually send kids away, but he was instrumental in this entire operation. It couldn't have happened without him.
Right. Once he's agreed that the courts in this county would agree to send a certain amount of money every month to these facilities, the facility could then get the loan to be built, and that pledge meant that they had to send a certain amount of kids to the facility.
So that was the deal. Suddenly kids are being sent away for very minor offenses. They suddenly end up at this new facility. The owners are very happy, and of course the judges are very happy because they're getting money back in the form of kickbacks.
And when you say kids are being sent off, just describe what's happening in Judge Ceffarelli's courtroom.
The kids go into the courtroom after being reassured by a probationer that they don't need an attorney, and they get before the judge, and then they're just sitting ducks. I mean, he gives them a couple-minute hearing and then orders them placed into shackles and taken away.
Does anyone say anything? Does anyone protest?
No, it's amazing. There was a code of silence up there. There were perhaps as many as 10 or 12 people in the room at the time this happened, sometimes many more. And at least a few of them were lawyers who had taken an oath to uphold the Constitution that they saw was being violated right before their eyes.
And by the way, the parents, in many cases, were the most stunned of all. They believed that, oh, I just called the cop to help me, you know, put a scare in my kid. They told me I didn't need a lawyer. This judge is going to put the scare in my kid. And the next thing they know, the kid's being walked away. Some parents tried to fight it, but you couldn't.
Yeah, but it didn't really good.
So, by the way, this all kind of brings us to the latest thinking on juvenile justice. We only had a juvenile justice system starting in 1899.
Yeah, and the current thinking on this is that the last resort should be to send a kid away, to send a kid away from his home and his family. That should be the very last resort. But in Luzerne County during these years, and it was about 6 years, rather than last resort, it was the routine. It was the likely outcome.
As opposed to, as you say, the thinking that if you send a kid into the criminal system, they usually get worse. So how did this scandal unravel? William Eckenbarger's book is Kids for Cash, Two Judges, Thousands of Children, and a $2.8 million kickback scheme. We'll have more with him in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about the kickback scheme in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Juvenile Court Judge Mark Ceffarelli sending thousands of kids away to privately run detention centers after receiving cash from the builders of the centers. And most of the kids had minor offenses like shoving matches in school. Bill Eckenbarger's book about the scandal is titled Kids for Cash. And Bill, before the break, we were talking about the cast of characters, including two builders and another judge, Michael Conahan, who contracted with the builders, in effect pledging that the county court would send the kids. But it was Judge Ceffarelli who was sentencing those kids. How did this all unravel?
Basically, Ceffarelli picked on the wrong kid. He sent away a 14-year-old girl who posted a mock profile of her principal on a social media site, sent away for 3 months. And her mother was a social worker and a teacher. And she knew that this was not right. So she made a lot of phone calls and eventually ended up with the Juvenile Law Center, a nonprofit law firm in Philadelphia that advocates on behalf of kids. And they started the ball rolling that eventually resulted in the unraveling of the scheme.
What are some of the things they saw
One of the things I looked at was the number of times that a kid had waived his right to a lawyer. And in Luzerne County, it was 10 times the statewide average. The other thing I looked at was the number of kids who were sent into placement, going to jail, basically. And in Luzerne County, it was 7 or 8 times the statewide average.
Because interestingly, Pennsylvania is actually pretty progressive on this. They had adopted the policy that it's best to try to work with kids and not put them into a system where they will ultimately get ensnared in the criminal system and get worse.
Yes, that's true. That's the idea, and it was in place in most of the state, but it was not in place in Luzerne County for 6 or 7 years.
You wrote about this for the Philadelphia Inquirer, but there were other newspapers in the region that were starting to pick up on something's wrong. I mean, it's not just that all these kids are suddenly going to these now 2 facilities. But, you know, these judges have homes, condos in Florida. How are they living on these salaries that they have? But, again, it just seems like, yes, it eventually unravels. But who's complicit here?
Robin, I think there are a lot of people complicit. And you have to add to that the general population up there. Because in 2004, 5 years before the scandal was uncovered, the newspaper up there ran a series of articles pretty much outlining the injustices that were going on in the juvenile court. The only thing missing from the article was the kickback angle. When the federal government finally indicted the judges, the outrage up there was not about what happened to the kids so much as it was about the fact that the judges took the money.
Took the money to send them away. Well, they all do turn on each other. Powell, the builder, wears a wire. Conahan, the judge, turns on Chevarella. Chevarella remains defiant. He goes on trial. Now, the prosecutors in PA don't charge him with sending kids away inappropriately. They charge him with, as you say, the money part, the racketeering, taking kickbacks from the builders of the facility. And so he never admits to being guilty to sending these kids away, even after he's charged with the racketeering charges. Here's a clip from ABC's 2020 reporter Jim Avila asking about that.
I'm not pleading guilty to anything relative to cash for kids, embezzlement, extortion, quid pro quo. Absolutely not.
You didn't take any time with these kids. You didn't let them have an attorney.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. So what happens in juvenile court is there's a whole intake process. Mm-hmm. And based upon that intake process, information is provided to the intake people. They're the ones that make the recommendations to me as to where the child should be placed.
Bill Eichenbarger, has the judge since admitted to what he did to these kids' lives? And how did the parents feel when he wasn't being tried for kids for cash? The kids never really had a voice in the trial.
The parents were upset by that, but I think they came to understand that the federal government's just wanted to get him away for a long time, and they did a very good job at doing it. I mean, to try to tell anybody that there was no connection between the kickbacks and the sending away the kids is absolutely preposterous. I mean, no one in their right mind would believe that. Maybe Chevarella has come to believe it under what I would call the O.J. syndrome. But I think that that no reasonable person would believe that there was no connection between the bribes and what happened to the kids.
Well, and one could say this is an aberration. These are rogue judges in one county in Pennsylvania. But you point out that, you know, there is a recent phenomenon, this school-to-prison pipeline across the country.
Yeah, I mean, teachers want to get problem kids out of the school and thereby shirk their responsibility for dealing with some of these kids, especially for smaller problems. Now, if you're talking about violence, that's different. I mean, if you're talking about guns and knives, that's a whole different thing. But if you're talking about a kid acting up in class or whatever, I don't think it's appropriate to call a cop in on that.
You list some of them recently. We remember the 5-year-old girl in Florida arrested for having a temper tantrum in her elementary school. A 14-year-old Texas boy with Asperger's cited by police for uttering an expletive in school. An 11-year-old in Colorado charged with theft after he took a lollipop from a jar on his teacher's desk. There's a 2010 report, Test, Punish, and Push Out, that claims that there is this school-to-prison pipeline. Is it because those prisons for juveniles are privately owned?
That's a part of the reason, Robin. They're not all privately owned. Some of them are nonprofits and do a fairly good job. But the school-to-prison thing is a definite problem. And if you look at it from the taxpayer standpoint, it costs an average of $250 a day to incarcerate a kid. So if you're going to send kids to jail who are not violent, It's just a really bad idea. I think the general public attitude that the way to fight crime is to incarcerate people, I think that was a breeding ground for this. I mean, there were many elements in this scandal, and that certainly was a big one of them.
And so what's it like in the towns?
The town is kind of hoping it's all going to go away. One of the district attorneys during this time who really let down the kids in his job, he replaced Chivarella as the juvenile judge. Which I find a little strange.
That doesn't provide a lot of hope, but...
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Bill Eckenbarger, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist whose new book is titled Kids for Cash, Two Judges, Thousands of Children, and a $2.8 million kickback scheme, judges who funneled children into private detention facilities and got kickbacks for it. Bill, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
You're welcome, Rob. My joy. Thanks.
So, are you seeing this schools-to-prison pipeline where you live? We'd love to hear from you. Let us know at hereandnow.org. News is next, Here and Now.